studio.
WZMX FM and WZMX HD1 Hartford. Always on radio.com. Radio.com. Hot 93.7.
It's time to stop the music and let the voices be heard. Call 860-674-9307 and let's talk.
Hello?
It's time for Voices with your host, DJ Big Man, on Hot 93.7.
All right. We are back at it, man. Another episode of Voices. It's Hot 93.7, hot937.com. Big Man here. And this week, I have three important people, very important people on the line. And we're going to talk about something that's very important to talk about, something that we need to talk about. All right. Let's see. I'm going to make sure I don't butcher any names here. I have J.O. Richardson, who's with C.T. Bell Fund. Also, Anna Maria. She's a part of C.T. Bell Fund. And I have a gentleman, Darcus Henry, who initially received a 100-year sentence. And we're going to talk about this and a whole lot more. So I want you guys to lock in, stay locked and loaded. You might want to take notes on this. You might want to, you know, jot down some information because we're going to dig deep.
Connecticut.
How is everyone doing today? How's everyone going? How's everyone doing?
Beautiful.
All right.
Thanks for having us on the show.
All right. So first, I would like to have J.O., if you could introduce yourself and talk about what it is that you do.
Yeah, Big Man, I just want to, again, thank you for letting us come on the show and talk about the work that we're doing. My name is J.O. Richardson, and I work at Connecticut Bell Fund. And the work that we do at Connecticut Bell Fund is on various things to support people that are involved in the criminal justice system. It's not limited to one particular thing. We help people with advocating for themselves, in the courts or working with their court cases. We help people with commissary funds. We help people find out. It's a lot of different things that we do to support people that's involved with the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and we also have Anna Marie, so I'll allow you to go next. Hello?
Yeah, she might have got disconnected. Because she's on the road.
Sorry about that.
Okay, here she is.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes, we have.
Hi, I'm on the road, so hopefully my connection is not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just also introduce myself?
Yes.
Okay, hi everyone. My name is Ana Maria. Thank you so much for having us on the show. I work with Joe at the Connecticut Bell Fund, and we have been around, we're a community-based organization. We have been around since 2016, and we started our work very simply by raising money in the community to bail people out who otherwise would not be able to go home because they could not afford bail. But, you know, that idea that we sort of got and were inspired by community bail funds across the country has actually grown into a lot of the work that Joe was talking about, which was actually, you know, providing support to people for fighting for freedom.
All right. And also we have Mr. Darcus Henry on the line. This is where we're going to dive in, and then we'll go back and talk about the connection with C.T. Bell Fund. So go right ahead, sir.
All right. My name is Darcus Henry. I was wrongfully convicted in 1999. Spent almost 17 years in prison, was sentenced to 100 years. Case got overturned, and I've been home for about close to 7 years now. I'm striving to help people that's in similar situations as myself get out of prison, you know?
Mm. Wow. Now, once again, how does this tie in with the C.T. Bell Fund, and how is it that, you know, after 17 years, you were able to walk out and have justice served properly?
Well, I'm from New Haven, mm-hmm. And New Haven, Connecticut, the DA's office, the state prosecution in New Haven is horrible. They hid evidence it was evidence that could have exonerated me. They did something called a Chinese firewall, where one prosecutor was given to do the deal without allowing the prosecutor and my chief to know about the deal, even though I don't believe that. And the dude got on the stand and testified against me falsely, and it was evidence that could have proved that the guy was lying against me. So that evidence came out 17 years later, and I was able to walk out of prison.
Wow, wow. If you're just joining us, this is Voices. I have J.O. Richardson, Anna Maria, and Darcus Henry on the line. J.O. Richardson and Anna Maria are part of C.T. Bell Fund. And Darcus Henry, as you've just heard, was sentenced to 100 years for something that he did not do. And after 17 years, the proof came out, and he was able to get out of there. Unbelievable. 17 years of your life gone on.
Oh, yo, it was a struggle.
Man.
If people don't realize, 17 years in prison for something you didn't commit, it's like torturous. You know, you got people who turn their back on you. You don't hear from family or friends. You know, it's a long time. And people know that you're innocent, but who's going to stay there and fight for you? That's why I want to fight for the brothers that's in similar situations as myself, because I have people turning their back on me.
Wow. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Now, J.O., let's talk here. Let's talk about this case from your angle.
From my angle, I knew what this brother was going through when he was going through it. When he was incarcerated, fighting for his freedom, he had a couple of other co-defendants, and they all were fighting for their freedom. And I also saw, I knew firsthand what they were going through before they were given the ultimate victory of being released. You know, I knew what they were fighting about and how this relates to the work that we do at Connecticut Bell Fund is we have a hotline that people that's incarcerated could put this hotline, put this number on their collect phone list, and they can call up collect. And when we talk to these people on the hotlines and people write us, we hear the different stories and the different things where people talk about the different things that's going on in the case and how their convictions were secured. And when you hear these different stories, it gets to a point where at first the shock of this happening with the police and the court system working together to secure these false convictions on people, when you first hear these realities, it's almost like something you hear in a movie. But then time after time again, you see people coming with actual evidence and actual paperwork to prove what they're saying. You know, it almost became a no-brainer that we do so much work to support people incarcerated that this had to be something that we put at our forefront to help people that have been wrongfully incarcerated, especially in the manner where the courts and the police acted unprofessionally to secure convictions.
Well put.
Yeah, this is... Wow, this is baffling. This is Voices right now on Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. I have J.O. Richardson and Anna Maria. They're part of C.T. Bell Fund. And I have Darcus Henry, who received a 100-year sentence for something that he didn't do. Anna Maria, if you're still there, what steps were taken here? Because, I mean, this brother did 17 years, so there had to be a degree of difficulty to even get access to the information that was withheld. What was the pushback? What happened here? I mean, 17 years of his life was taken away from him for something that he didn't do, and it was just a matter of disclosing certain pieces of information that were withheld. So how difficult was it to obtain this information? What type of resistance was received, if you could go into that?
Big man, I think... With Darcus Henry's situation, I just wanted to make clear that a lot of the work that Darkus did was with him and his own team.
Really?
So this was before he even got introduced to us that he started to work on fighting for his freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time that I knew Darkus personally before I even got to the bail fund. So by the time the bail fund was established, Darkus was already fighting his case. He practically was out by the time the bail fund was established.
Mm.
It's just more of the work. It's just the connection of what he went through and what other people were going through that are still presently incarcerated that made the marriage of us doing this work together happen. But I'm pretty sure I know Darkus could tell you a whole bunch of stuff about what he had to physically go through to actually get his case back into court. And that's one of the reasons why we're even on this phone, because that's one of the roadblocks we're hitting with people advocating for themselves, because they're not able to access the court and access these entities that are the ones that are supposed to reconsider this new evidence or really address these falsified reports or documents or whatever. I know Darkus could talk more in detail about some of the things that he had to go through to get his case overturned.
Absolutely. I'm going to allow that now. Once again, we have J.O. Richardson, Anna Maria on the line from CT Bell Fund, and we have Darkus Henry. And that's a question that I need to find out, because, and I think people really want to know, because your life is on the line. You're trying to prove your innocence. You've already, so I'm sure that this may have started, you know, from day one. So you spent 17 years trying to get some information released that could save your life. How difficult was it? What was the process of putting a team together? Because I know that there had to be certain people who did not believe that you were innocent. So that was a point of resistance. And then for those people who believed that you were innocent, there was this tug of war. So if you could go into what it took and what type of resistance you received.
Oh, man. Direct appeal denied. First habeas that I put in denied. We had to keep putting in FOIs to get information from. FOI is the Freedom of Information.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my team, which was my three co-defendants, Carlos Ash, Sean Adams, and Johnny Johnson, all four of us were wrongfully convicted. So we put the work in, and we presented the work to the attorney who argued what we put together to get it free. So we had to do it from behind these gates.
Mm.
It was resistance, like you said. There was a bunch of resistance. So we write into the police station. Can I get this paperwork? Can I get this file here? Can I give me all the information that you have pertaining to my case? And it was a lot of paperwork, just writing and reading and reading statements. Four different statements to the police. We just had to put it together like a puzzle.
Mm.
So, you know, it was difficult. It was real difficult. And there was a lot of resistance. We wrote, got denied for information, put the Freedom of Information in. It's free information. You're supposed to give whatever you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go to court and ask the judge, or can you tell the police department to give this information? Can you tell the state to give this information out? Why my attorney didn't have this during trial? You know, things like that. So it was a lot of legwork.
And to add to that, if you're just joining us, his voice is on Hot 937, Hot 937.com. And the person who I'm speaking to right now is Darkus Henry, who was sentenced to 100 years in prison for a crime that he did not commit. All right. And after 17 years was exonerated. Here's where I feel sometimes the resistance. Well, this is what I wholeheartedly feel. This is where I feel the resistance was coming from, because then there's an admission of wrongdoing. So no one wants to answer the question, or no one wants to admit we were wrong. Okay? And you not doing your due diligence, you suppressing information, which is a crime itself. You cost someone 17 years of their lives. There's nothing that you can put on that. There's no dollar amount. There's nothing that you can put on that, because for each one of those days, for 17 years, all right, that person missed out on the possibilities of life, on the possibilities of things that could have gone on. And it's so much deeper than just, you know, cut the check or, oh, I'm sorry. It's so much deeper. And absolutely. And I feel like, you know, I hear these stories so much. I hear these stories so much. And it's frustrating because it seems to impact, or you hear these stories a lot as it pertains to inner city communities. That's where there's an abundance of stories like this. And my question is, why? Why? Because this brother should not have lost 17 years of his life for something that he didn't commit, when the evidence was there that he didn't commit the crime. He and his co-defendants. All right. So it's Hot 93.7, hot937.com. J.O. Richardson on the line. Anna Maria on the line. They're both part of C.T. Bell Fund. Darcus Henry on the line. 17 years of a 100-year sentence for a crime that he didn't commit. All right. So now let's talk about, you know, because as J.O. mentioned earlier, you were pretty much on your way to walking out of those gates when C.T. Bell Fund came about. So now what's the connection here? Are you guys working together as a joint unit to help other people who have a similar story?
You want to speak on that, Jerry?
Yeah. Well, Darcus was out already working mm-hmm. on advocating for people that were in a similar situation like his.
Mm-hmm.
So it just so happened that our work, we were basically working with people that were in the pretrial stages, in the immigration facilities, and in state facilities, working with them to advocate with their cases or whatnot, get the right legal representation, whatever the case may be. So in the mix of us knowing that, COVID happened. And when COVID happened, the state got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And when the state got shut down, we were constantly in conversations with people that were incarcerated, and they started to receive a lot of hardships because they stopped visits abruptly. They stopped just people connections with the community. A lot of facilities went on lockdown. So when this happened, we immediately, as Connecticut Bell Fund, we said, hey, we need to keep some type of correspondence with people that's inside, so we can, you know, support them. So we developed a hotline, and then with developing that hotline, we asked people to talk about their situations they were going with COVID, because it was people that died in those facilities that caught COVID. You know, it was some real horror stories happening in the facilities when COVID, this horror story is still happening now, but when COVID first happened, it was some real horror stories coming out of the facility. So with these horror stories of COVID coming out, we started to hear other horror stories of, on top of COVID, people are wrongfully convicted. We were like, wow. And then when we started to hear the stories, we were like, this is crazy. And it just was a natural marriage, because I already knew Darcus and I knew what he went through. So when I reached out to him and I started talking with him, we just basically connected, and especially around support for other cases and people that we knew together. Like one of the people that we're organizing now to gain support from the community to have him released is Gaylord Salters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of evidence in his case that shows a lot of misconduct that was done. And he's been in for, similar to Darkest case, he's been in almost 20 years, you know. And it's a lot of evidence in the case that showed that he's been wrongfully convicted. And a lot of the people that imposed this sentence on him and afflicted putting this condition on them, they've moved on with their lives and they're doing other things. And a lot of these situations, you know, a lot of these people, they've been incarcerated for over 2 decades. So a lot of the pain that their family, the community had to go through for them, for these people being in jail, has already happened. So we're making like a real desperate act to sit down with the state, to sit down with these court facilities, to sit down with these entities to correct the wrongs that were done in the past. Like, if we're making a real passionate ask, please. If they had the evidence for Darkest to get released for 6 years. It took them 6 years to acknowledge the evidence that freed them. After they're almost in jail 20 years. This is a reality that people incarcerated are going through right now to this day, listening to this call. You know, so we're asking that these entities that have the power to really address these wrongs that were done in the past, start doing it. We don't want other people, innocent people, to sit in jail another day without this stuff being addressed.
It's Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. Big man here. I have J.O. Richardson, Anna Maria on the line from the C.T. Bell Fund. I have Darkest Henry, who was sentenced to 100 years in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. The evidence was there, and he spent 17 years. See, here's my thing. On a situation like that, where it's proven that there was evidence was overlooked, someone needs to be held responsible. Because when your life went on and you were able to experience those great possibilities in life, because of your negligence, someone else missed out on their great opportunities. And they were spending all these years fighting for their freedom on some information that was sitting there. And it's your job, and you get paid well, to cover all the bases. So what, if any, because I'm not well versed on this, J.O., Darkest, maybe Anna Marie, maybe someone can help me understand what happens at that point. I mean, when it's shown that there was negligence and someone was at fault, what's the punitive damage for that person, if any at all?
Well, prosecutors have immunity. Prosecutors have immunity. They're not held accountable for a criminal act, because this was a criminal act to hide evidence that could have freed me or showed my innocence. That's a criminal act. It was hidden. This evidence wasn't like, oh, I couldn't find it. They had it and they hid it. And this happens a lot in Connecticut. I know a few brothers, like with Gaylord, the same exact prosecutor that was involved in my case was involved in his case and did the same thing to him. Did the same thing to a few other brothers that I know. They still fighting for their freedom.
Exactly. And like Darkest said, I mean, I think this is something, and Joe has also expressed this, that we have seen across the board. Before COVID, we were primarily supporting people who were still in the pretrial stage fighting. And the reality is that the prosecutor's office and the police, all they want is a conviction. I don't think any of us believe that what they want to find out is the actual truth of what happened and the harm that occurred. What they want to secure is a conviction and to put someone in a cage. And a lot of the people that we have been supporting over the years have simply like done things like flat out because they are too worried that they... almost an accident in front of me in the car. They're too worried that perhaps their sentence is going to be 20 years and they'd rather plead out to something like 10 years because, they they're just like too tired of fighting, or they're beat by the system, or, you know, they're in jail for such a long time because they have a bail that is unpayable and nobody can pay their bail, and so they might as well get it over with, even though they might have not committed what they're being accused of. And so it just happens across the board. And in all of the years that I've been doing this work, it's just so evident that the system is not really trying to address harm or to find out the truth. They're just trying to lock people up. And it's more than negligence, like Darka said. It's like, you know, in some cases, it's they're hiding evidence that could actually secure somebody's freedom. So it's just something needs to change. And the work that our organizations do is about supporting people, but it's also about changing the system. It's about, you know, acknowledging that the way that the system works right now does not work for people. It just works against people.
Mm. It's Hot 93.7, hot937.com. Voices, big man here. And I have J.O. Richardson and Anna Maria. They're part of C.T. Bell Fund. I have Darkus Henry received a 100-year sentence for a crime that he didn't commit. Served 17 years before the evidence that was hidden came to light. And from what I'm understanding, prosecutors have immunity in cases like this. So something needs to change here, because it has become a business in locking people up. There's a business in that. It's not that it's become a business. It was always a business. And clearly it's a lucrative business, because there's an effort when you're hiding evidence. There's an effort. Lock this person up, get this case done. It looks good on you know, it looks good on my resume. It looks good on my portfolio. I've quote unquote solved X amount of cases. But then you have the other side of it, where you've stripped the life away from an innocent person. And so, you know, you have these brothers who hold the scars of 17 years of being incarcerated. They've missed loved ones. They've missed numerous, any celebration that you've enjoyed while they were locked up. They've missed all of that with their families. And you went on with life. And so there is nothing that's done in that case. There's nothing that's done in this scenario. So it's just, you know, okay, well, sorry. And walk away? No. That's not enough. That's not enough. So I think something needs to be changed. J.O., go right ahead. Go right ahead. Speak.
And Big Man, I just wanted to touch on a point that August 15th that just passed, we had our first unity rally for victims of police violence in New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by police violence is, police violence is deeper than the images of police brutality that we see on TV, so common now. You know, we commonly see police stepping on people's necks, shooting people 7 times in the back. These are common images now of how police are treating people in our community. But what is unseen is the police violence of police falsifying reports.
Mm-hmm.
Police falsifying evidence to secure convictions. These are violence, and these are things that are happening that are not being spoken upon. I mean, a good thing for people to really think about is, if George Floyd didn't die, George Floyd would have had some charges trumped on him, and he would have been in jail fighting the charges that they had trumped on him if he didn't die. If all of these victims of police brutality that we're seeing on TV didn't die, police would have trumped charges on them, and they would have been incarcerated or out on bond fighting these charges. And this is just the only reason why we're seeing these struggles of the reality of what people have been going through for years is because we're able to document it better. We're able to record. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we didn't have these luxuries. So that's what we're seeing as of now. People that were suffering from those luxuries that weren't available of mass recorders, of videotaping people. You know, this is a reality of what we're going through now.
Man, Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. Voices on your airwaves right now. And this is a deep and necessary discussion that's happening right now. I have J.O. Richardson on the line, if you're just joining me, and Anna Maria. They're both with C.T. Bell Fund. I have Darcus Henry, who was sentenced to 100 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He served 17 years before the evidence that was suppressed finally came to light. And I can't even imagine how many people have gone through this or going through this, and to know that those who suppressed the information, those who committed this crime, because that's what it is, those who abused these brothers, because that's what it is, these brothers and sisters, they are still walking around freely, having lunch with their family, having dinner with their families, their friends. Most are still practicing whatever it is they're practicing. And for all these years, these brothers and sisters had to fight. So now let's this is traumatic. It's traumatizing because, one, you have, I can't even imagine the amount of fight on a daily basis. All right. And I'm speaking to Darcus. I can't even imagine the amount of fight on a daily basis that it takes for you to smile and have a good day, because it's still that stain of 17 years of life that you missed outside of those gates when you didn't have to be there. And knowing that if this case were someone else, then every stone would have been turned over to find evidence.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, this is what they believe. They could sprinkle a little money on the situation and everything would be fine. And that's probably a reason why a lot of these brothers right now, that's why the evidence that for people that's wrongfully convicted right now, that these prosecutors are still hiding information and not overturning this information. Because the state, you know, when they let me out of prison, when I got exonerated, they gave us $17 million, me and my co-defendants.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to cough up that kind of money again. So I believe, like in Gaylord's situation, where he has all the evidence in the world, the Salters case, all the evidence in the world to let him go, that they're reluctant to let him go because they're thinking, oh, it's going to cost the state of Connecticut this amount of money if we let these dudes go. And no amount of money is worth somebody's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not.
Mm-hmm. And so, go right ahead. Finish your statement. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, like, I believe that in the Salters case, the reason why they didn't let the brother out is because they're thinking about the monetary thing and not the criminal act that's being held against him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Absolutely. It's Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. Voices, for those who are just tuning in, DJ Big Man here, and I'm having a discussion. I have J.O. Richardson on the line and Anna Maria on the line. There was C.T. Bell Fund. I have Darcus Henry, who was sentenced to 100 years in prison, served 17 years, was exonerated after 17 years because of evidence that was withheld in the case. And, wow. Now, either J.O. or Anna Maria, C.T. Bell Fund right now. Let's talk about maybe possible cases that you're assisting in right now and what's going on with those, if you can.
Jerry, you want to take this one?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of the cases, we can't really get too much into detail with because
mm-hmm.
People are actually, you know, going through the cases now and, you know, from fear of retaliation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we start talking about certain things and pointing the finger at certain people, and people are in, you know, correctional facilities. Reality is they could be retaliated against. Mm. You know, we don't want to put people at risk like that. But we are working with some real serious situations. We definitely could talk behind the scenes as far as coming back.
Yes.
And talking about these things once we have more details and we're in a better place. But we have people that reached out to us that are dealing with sexual abuse, physical abuse at the hands of correctional officers and marshals. It's a lot of serious stuff that because this entity exists, people have been able to reach out to us and ask for support and gain a certain level of support from people that have been in their situation, or people that are like fully invested in supporting them in their situation. So those are just two real big examples. But other examples are like the example with Gaylord Salter, him being wrongfully convicted, him having the evidence and the state having the evidence to show why he was wrongfully convicted. And some of the things that happened during his trial that wasn't right.
Mm.
They have this evidence, and they're not moving on it. It's other cases that's out there, too, that the state has the evidence. They know this stuff. Like, this stuff is not, it's a secret because the public don't know about it. But they know these cases exist. You know, they know that, you know, it's a history. It's a lot of skeletons in a lot of closets that need to be cleaned up. And like I said before, a lot of the people that committed a lot of these crimes and that committed a lot of these traumas on these people and their families, they're not around no more.
Mm-hmm.
But these offices have inherited these traumas, have mm-hmm. inherited these bad deeds from the alumni. So I just hope that, like, they've got it right with Darkest and his co-defendant. I hope that they get it right with other people. Like, they make a real strong effort to start getting this right with other people. And until that happens, we're going to be advocating for these people. You know, we look at them as family. You know, we look at them like family. I've been incarcerated before, too. I was wrongfully incarcerated. I know how that feels. Mm-hmm. I went through a situation also. So I'm not just speaking from a place where I'm just speaking because I'm just reading books or hearing things. I'm speaking from a place because I've walked down those hallways and I see that pain that people had to go through and people go through every day behind those walls,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm just blessed, Big Man, that you're giving us an opportunity to really talk about some of these traumas that's been affecting our community for decades. And mm-hmm. we just haven't had a platform to really talk about this trauma.
Mm.
You know, every day people are going through these things in those facilities, every facility in the state of Connecticut. Somebody's behind those walls that's going through some real stuff that needs support.
It's Hot 93.7. Oh, you wanted to say something, Anne Marie? I'm sorry.
I just wanted to add, I mean, what Joe said is so true and so powerful, and I think one of the biggest issues that we've been seeing during this moment in the pandemic is that the courts essentially shut down almost entirely. So that means that there's a lot of people waiting to go back to court to try to get freedom who have not been able to access the courts because the courts have been closed. And even though there has been a lot of demands from public health officials, from organizations like ours and other community organizations, on the governor to release people from these death cages, because that's what they are, especially in the middle of a pandemic, we have to admit with, you know, closed ears, just no willingness to recognize the humanity of those who are living behind bars in our state. And so I think that it's really important that we want to keep sending the message to the governor that, like, our incarcerated brothers and sisters behind bars are also, their lives matter too, and we need them to take action.
Hot 93.7, hot 93.7.com. Big Man here. All right, I have J.O. Richardson and Anna Maria with the C.T. Bell Fund. Darcus Henry did a 100-year sentence. He did 17 years before he was exonerated. And you said something that, you know, most people say, you do the time, you do the crime, you do the time. This brother didn't do the crime, but he did the time. However, those who withheld the evidence, they did the crime. They did the crime of withholding the evidence. So make this make sense to me. If, let's say, if someone I know, if they did something, they did a crime, I withheld information, I was interrogated, and I withheld the information, then later on, it comes out that I knew something, there would be a way to press charges on me. Am I correct here? Am I correct?
Absolutely correct.
And so now, this has to be revisited because information was withheld, which in any other situation becomes some sort of a crime. But in this situation, it's not. How? Go right ahead.
This is normal. This is a normal occurrence. It's so much. We see it all the time now with police officers where they've done things, and you know, it's hard for them to get convicted on the stuff that they do. You know, like things that are clear. It's hard for we fight to just get them convicted out of that. Now, when it comes to, and that's the only reason why we're even getting any type of light on that is because these crimes are being recorded in the actual incident. Is you can see the actual incident. But in these courtrooms, you can't see a computer typing up some false documentation. There's no way, like those crimes that are happening, that's why I say it's the silent violence. Like these police reports being falsified where they're saying certain things, or the, you know, you can't make that up. Mm-hmm. There's no way to document that happening. It takes years of a person being persistent and fighting for their freedom. If you think about how many people, our communities are already under-resourced. So it's not like we're coming from a community that we're thorough with the law so we can defend ourselves and advocate for ourselves to that degree. We're already behind the eight ball in that area. But how many people are incarcerated that don't have the luxury and weren't persistent like Marcus, I mean like Darcus and his other co-defendants, to really fight for their freedom?
Absolutely. Even to think about this, I mean, like you said, there's limited resources or there's difficulty sometimes getting the resources in the free world. So it's doubly difficult behind bars. And so, you know, if you're just joining us, it's Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. Big Man is here. I have J.O. Richardson and Anna Maria. They're with the C.T. Bell Fund. I have Darcus Henry, was sentenced to 100 years in prison. Crime he didn't commit. Did 17 years, was exonerated when the information that was withheld from 17 years ago finally came to the light. And so he and his co-defendants were exonerated, received a settlement, but those who withheld the information can still go on with their lives as if this didn't happen. So it's like never skipped a beat. Never skipped a beat whatsoever. Which, to me, that needs to be revisited. We talk about things that need to be revisited. That's something that needs to be revisited, because how can you make the statement, you do the crime, you do the time, and then you do a crime, you don't do the time, but you've sent multiple people to do time for something they didn't do the crime on? Wow. Voices here. It's Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. We have a few more minutes left. Now, for those people who are interested and finding out more about CT Bell Fund for those people who may have family members who are right now incarcerated for something that they didn't do and they know that information was withheld? How can they reach out to you? How can they find out more information about CT Bell Fund? And Darkus, if you have any information that you'd like to share for people to contact you or get more in tune with everything that you guys are working on as well.
Well, the address for Connecticut Bell Fund, well, you can reach us at Connecticut Bell Fund, P.O. Box 593, New Haven, Connecticut, 06513. And everybody that's incarcerated, we have an English hotline and we have a Spanish hotline number that you can call collect on these numbers. We'll accept all phone calls. And the English line is 203-430-0462. And the Spanish line is 203-214-4787. And if I know I was talking because of time, I'm speaking kind of fast, and I'm not able to repeat things. But if you want to find out any of this, any additional information, you can go to Facebook, Connecticut Bell Fund, like us, and we'll have every update of everything that we're doing and how you can tap into some of the services that we provide. We help people with commissary while they're in there. We help people. We have the hotline. We help people with, we just started a newsletter that we're going to be reaching out to, sending to people so they can stay and advocate for themselves from the inside. We have a lot of things happening. Please reach out to us. Please. And I just want to say I stand in solidarity with all my brothers and sisters behind the wall. Keep your head up. And you got a whole community of people out here fighting for you and standing with you.
All right. J.O. or Anna Maria, any closing words?
Again, I just want to thank you, big man, for having us come to the show, mm-hmm. be on this show and talk about some of these issues, because I know you could have had a lot of different people up here talking about a lot of different things, and this is not like one of the most popular topics to be talking about, and I really appreciate you having the strength to really have us up here and talk about these real challenging issues that have inflicted so much trauma on our community for so long.
I think it's necessary to talk about. Mr. Henry, any closing words for you?
Well, I stand in solidarity with Connecticut Bell Fund, so anybody have anything to say, we're going to reach out. We can reach out through the Connecticut Bell Fund, and I'm here, I'm around. And I just want these legislators and the state of Connecticut to do the right thing by these brothers. Gaylord Sauter's in there fighting hard for his freedom. He's a publisher now, wrote a few books. He got Go Get It Publishing. Anybody want to read his books, they can go to Go Get It Publishing, author, L-O-R-D. And it's a few other brothers that's incarcerated falsely and wrongfully convicted that I know, like Corey Turner out of Hartford and Maurice Blackwell from Bridgeport. We just need the state to do the right thing in these cases, man. And I stand with you, brothers, in solidarity. All lives matter here.
Absolutely. With that being said, I want to thank all three of you for being on the show today. I want to thank you for sharing the stories. And this won't be the last time that I'll have you guys on. I definitely want to get you back on because there's some more things to talk about. We have a limited amount of time here. And for those people who are interested in being a part of the Voices show, you can get at me, at DJ Big Man, 2 G's, 2 N's, all right? Or you could send me an email at bigevents, B-I-G-G, events, E-V-E-N-T-S, at gmail.com. I appreciate you guys, and I'll make sure that I get the information over to you, any additional information. Thank you again so much. J.O. Richardson, Anna Maria with CT Bell Fund, Darkus Henry, thank you guys so much for being a part of the Voices show.
All right, big man, we appreciate you, man. Thank you for having us on, man.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Sunday School is next. Keep it right here. It's Hot 93.7.
Hey, this is Lizzo. Your vote matters now more than ever.